Well, good evening, Harvest family. Trust you had a good little bit of a rest this afternoon. Don't bet you folks. Yeah, didn't we have a great service this morning? Enjoy the service. Good to see some visitors. I thought that was so sweet that that widow lady moved to Arizona to Goodyear from Yuma, and she had about 10 friends come down to go to church with her just to encourage her to go to church so she wouldn't have to go by herself the first time. And she said, I'll be back. I enjoyed it. Folks are so friendly. So I was still waiting, and the preaching was good, but we had a good short little bit of fellowship afterwards, got to meet some of the folks that were there, some of the other visitors we had across the auditorium. That was a blessing. So snowbirds are starting to trickle in as well, so it's a blessing to meet a couple of those this morning as well. All right, we'll have a word of prayer, and Brother Sam will come, and thank you, Brother Sam, for filling in for the chair while he was out. I appreciate that. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you, and thank you for your goodness to us, your blessings upon us. Thank you for the joy of service, the joy of fellowship. I pray that you would bless us, meet with us tonight as we worship together, as we spend time in the Word, and Lord, our budget meeting after our evening service. Father, may it all go well and smoothly and pleasing and honoring and glorifying to you, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Tony, would you ask God's blessings on our offering tonight?
Oh, dear Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity to speak with you. Thank you that we can speak with you at any time. We're so happy to live in the end times where the time of grace. Oh, we don't need animal sacrifices or anything, just us. Thank you so much for that gift. Thanks for the gift of not only salvation, but this country and the gift of what level of health we have today. In Jesus' name, amen.
I walk by the tomb of Buddha, looked inside and saw his bones, traveled on to see Muhammad, still wrapped up in his grave clothes. Then I journeyed to the garden where old Joseph left him lay, the precious lamb of God begotten was no longer in that grave. Step into the light. nail-scarred hands reach out and help you to pull you safe from death to life. Friend, I too have stood where you stand. Could I trust in things I see? But just one step in his grace, then in love he ran to me. If you knew him like I know him, you would know that he's alive. If you felt him like I feel him, resurrection deep inside, you know he's living and death has died. You ask me how I know. He lives within my heart. If you felt him like I feel him, resurrection deep inside, you know he's living and death has died.
Handout, but it is a handout, but I mean not typically an outline. It's kind of hard to make an outline for what I wanted to express. The fourth Sunday in January will be the third year of me being pastor here at Harvest Baptist Church, the fourth Sunday in January. And I've tried to make a few adjustments here and there through the years. We've made a few changes. We've added some services. We've started doing business meetings and presenting budgets that is fairly new. We're still working on the budget thing. You continue, please, to continue to give and to pray and be patient. These are things that just doesn't happen overnight when you step into a ministry that has never had one. And so we've worked. We've had a little bit of turnover in the church as well with folks leaving, folks coming in. So it's been a bit of a challenge. But I wanted to do something this year coming in a little different. Some things I've done in the past, but not this theme in the past. When you walked in today, you noticed three banners in the auditorium, in the foyer: faith, family, and fellowship. And I want to talk a little bit about those three words tonight as we detour off our regular, do you really know what you believe about? And next week will be about death. And we will talk about death, burial. We'll talk about cremation, a few other things and all that for next week. But for tonight, I want to talk a little bit about those three words. And then also, we're going to be we're approaching a little bit of a different philosophy of ministry here at Harvest, things I think that will suit us well. And we're going to talk about pastoral care, parishioner care, property care, and proclamation. And we'll talk about that, and I may fit some of that in as I go with this. But first, let's go ahead and I'll read the verse here. We'll have a word of prayer. A little bit of rambling. I made more of some notes to help me stay on track to share what I want to share in reference to these three words. So let's read our verse, Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Father, bless the reading of your word. Bless our time together tonight in your word. May we be uplifted. May you be uplifted and glorified. May we be edified and encouraged and look at our life and our service and how we can be more of a part or a thriving part of Harvest Baptist Church. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. I think the key word that we should start with is the aspect of faith. We're going to take the assumption that everyone that wants to be involved are born again. They have trusted Christ as their personal Savior. And far as I know, majority, if not all, I've sat down in this room and talked to about that. So I have that clear. But Faith, family, and fellowship are three key words, as I mentioned, that I would like for us to focus on as a church family that fellowships together in faith. Again, we've read our text here. Hebrews 11:1 is a well-known Bible verse, meaning faith provides the reality, assurance, or foundation for future hopes in unseen realities, acting as a conviction or title deed to things not visible but promised. It is about trusting. Faith is about trusting in God's promises and bringing spiritual expectations into tangible belief and action, even when circumstance don't show it yet. You need to remember that, yet. Couple meanings here in the word substance. We see a first part, as you look in the dictionary, you'll see a definition of many words. They might have three or four ways broken down. I've got three here: assurance and foundation. The Greek word hypostasis suggests a substructure or firm reality, making hope for things feel real. So how real is our faith? How big is our faith? Well, as we finish up the year and beginning ready to get ready for the end of the year and our budget, how we did, look into the new year, our bookkeeper sent me a note and said, "Pastor, you need to challenge your people to increase their faith, to stretch their faith in the sense of what God can do through his people that allow him to do that work." Another word here in reference to a breaking down of the word substance, not only assurance and foundation, but title or deed or proof. See, it's like having a legal document, again, talking about the substance of our faith, having a legal document, a title or a deed, like many of us have to our home, except for those who are still paying a mortgage like me, for what you hope for, or a conviction that does exist. Sometimes we forget that faith means that we may not be able to actually grasp it or see it, but we have faith that God can do it. Realization and evidence, the last two words in reference to substance and faith. Faith is the active realization of hope, making the unseen feel present. There's no doubt you probably remember the day you trusted Christ as your Savior by faith. You felt his presence. A time when the Lord has convicted you about something in your life you need to change, you felt his presence. But do we allow ourselves to feel and to seek his presence when we make decisions as a church moving together in fellowship? Faith. Now, in practice, faith, it motivates action, whether it be preaching, praying, or serving. It motivates action based on belief in God's promises rather than just feelings. In other words, we proclaim the gospel, we pray, and we serve based on more than just feelings, but on God's promises. And then we also see that faith bridges the gap between current reality and future fulfillment. We know the condition of the world that we may live in, but we also know what the Lord has done for us on the cross. By faith, we have trusted him, and we trust him for the future fulfillment of returning again or taking us even sooner. We trust him by faith. But beyond that, how is our faith? It is believing in the reality of what you can't see and acting on that belief as if it's already true. We know the Lord has saved us. We know we have trusted Christ as our Savior. We know that we are secure in Christ. But as we go into this new year with faith, family, and fellowship, will we allow the same faith that we trusted Christ in, knowing that he's going to secure us? Will we allow that same type of faith to carry us in our service unto him and to one another as a church family? Family. Family is important, and so is the family of God. We spoke about that, I think, a year and a half ago. We talked about the family of God. However, looking a little bit closer, church family is your local assembly where we worship together, where we pray together, and where we fellowship together. What a beautiful picture of church family for these 10, 15 adults to come with their friend here to visit her in Goodyear, to come to church with her, her former church family, and encouraging her to get involved. In fact, some of them said they enjoyed it so much, we'll want to come back and visit Carol just to come to Harvest. That was encouraging to me as your pastor of the friendliness they received. That is church family. But not just church family, our immediate family as well. We'll talk both of them together. The Bible presents family as a foundational element in God's plan, both physically and spiritually. You see, in the beginning, God established family through Adam and Eve. Yes, Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Amen. And he commanded them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth in Genesis 1:28. God also created the one flesh union between one man and one woman. Genesis 2:24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife and they shall be one flesh. You see, the institution of marriage is reinforced throughout Scripture. And the fifth commandment instructs us in Exodus 20:12, honor thy father and thy mother, that days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So the Bible emphasizes the importance of nurturing family through love, discipline, and instruction. And I believe we can also carry that over in the church in nurturing younger believers. You might be the same age. You might be close. Someone else might be older than you that you are mentoring, but you're more mature in the Lord. And the same principle, I believe, applies. Proverbs chapter 22 talks about the importance of nurturing family, whether it be your children, your grandchildren, nieces, nephews. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. As we train up young believers, as we train up boys and girls in our nursery, in our children's ministry. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long upon the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. That's a little bit easier to preach than children, obey your parents, isn't it? And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So family is also a place of forgiveness and unity, as it is with a church family, a place of forgiveness and a place of unity. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Pretty hypocritical not to be willing to forgive a brother or sister in Christ, but you want God to forgive you. It's important, unity in a family, whether it be under one house or whether it be in our congregation as a church family. You see, family encourages humility, patience, and works to maintain unity through love. I often tease, and there is a little bit of truth in it, but I often tease, or sometimes, I may not like you, but I sure do love you. We are to love one another. That means looking past faults, looking past quirks, looking past personalities, looking past humanity in a man or a woman, and loving them as a believer and as a church family member. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So family, faith is important. Personally, with your faith in Christ, faith is important within our church family, our congregation, of extending our faith through our giving of our time, our talents, and our finances to support the mission of reaching the community and reaching the world for Christ. By faith, do what we can to serve the Lord. Remember the very first time, if you've ever taught a class, if you ever taught children's church, if you ever stood before the church to give a devotion or before a group that first time, it was a step of faith. It was a step of faith. Okay, Lord, I'm not sure how I'm going to do this, but with your help, I will. No matter what it may be, that first time that you said, Pastor, I know you've never called on me, but I am willing to pray publicly if you would like for me to. That's a step of faith. Faith, family, again, family individually as well as collectively. Our family is important. We have the family of God, but our local assembly, our family is right here. One quick illustration, I'll jump back to our next word in fellowship. Here recently, I've had the privilege of mentoring another young man in the ministry and pastoring, and once in a while he calls, and I see that as the family of God. Another brother seeking out some advice, seeking out prayer, pray with me, seeking out, Pastor, in your opinion, what does the Bible say? What is your experience? How can you help me in this area? I was glad to do it because he's part of the family of God. But here in our local assembly, and there's other believers out there, but us as a family and as a church family, we need to remember to extend grace, that aspect of love and unity, because we're working and moving together for the same purpose, and that is to edify and encourage one another in reaching the lost for the cause of Christ. And then we have fellowship. Fellowship refers to a shared connection with God and with fellow believers. There's that commonality when we fellowship. That commonality is we are children of God. We know God, and we have a relationship with Him, and we can fellowship around that. It is a shared life in Christ, grounded in mutual love, faith, and participation in God's amazing grace. A house does not function well. A house will be dysfunctional if mom and dad and children are not on the same page, working together, serving one another, helping around the house. And the same thing at a church. We are to help one another. We are to be functional for the cause of Christ. And our fellowship should reflect that. Fellowship is rooted in the belief that believers are united as one body in Christ. We may live in separate homes, but as we come together in fellowship and in faith and as a church family, we're again striving and pushing together in the same direction. 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one and have many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. We are to work and labor together to be united and moving together. You know how it is? You ever mash your thumb or have a sore back and say, man, I've got a headache in my back. I've got a headache in my thumb. And without even thinking about it, we might say that. But you know, when we have prayer time on Wednesday night and we share prayer requests, or others know, it should be a natural function through that prayer of supplication that we ache and hurt for our fellow brother and sister in Christ who has a need, whether it be physical, whether it be emotional, whether it be spiritual, because we are one body. We need to do all we can to empathize with them, to help them through any difficulties. The foundation of fellowship with God is established through walking in the light. We covered this several months ago, 1 John 1:7. But if you walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. And as we are walking in the light, we are walking in fellowship with the Lord. And again, I've said this hundreds of times, it's a lot easier to be right out here with each other when we're right this way with the Lord. But when we're not right with one another, it's pretty hard to be right with Him as well, because there should not be aught between brother and brother and sister or brother and sister. Again, the fellowship is not merely social, but spiritual, involving communion with the Father and with the Son. Again, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, when your kids used to have a birthday party when they lived at home, or maybe you've been to one recently, or grandkids like we have, and they come together and they come to a party, there always seems to be one there that wants to help open all the gifts for the birthday boy or girl, as if it's their party, as if it's their thing. And we need to remember when we come to church on Sunday, we come to men's fellowship on Tuesday, a ladies' function or a midweek prayer and Bible study, it's all about Him. It's all about Him. Any part and help that we do is to help others to be edified, to understand, to grow in that unity, to encourage. It is a blessing. Brother Derek, I want to say thank you publicly. Here's an example. We had the group from Yuma come in today and visit fellowship. Brother Derek met them in a parking lot, walked them in and introduced them, and went a step further after church when they wanted to go eat. He guided them to the restaurant they wanted to go. That's service. That's love. That's extending grace, even to someone that may not be part of our church family, but part of the family of God. We serve one another. We encourage one another. Recently, we had another good example of this. And guys, get mad and get over it, okay? I'm going to use you as an example. Brother John and Brother Rob went over and helped Brother Tony in his garage to set up something Tony's been like this about for months, getting his welding stuff and electrical set up. He is one happy camper. A couple men who loved their brother in Christ wanted to be a blessing and went over and helped. I guarantee you those men probably went up a notch or two on Brother Tony's prayer list. But that's an example of love, unity, grace, and serving one another in the family of God. Fellowship among believers is encouraged, again, through mutual encouragement, shared responsibilities, and participation in ministry and church services. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, for the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. It's the shared responsibilities. It's participating in ministry and church services through our mutual encouragement, because again, we're a family striving to edify one another. It's not all about just people being saved. That is very important, but it's also about growing people in their faith, growing other believers, challenging other believers as iron sharpeneth iron. Fellowship is also being steadfast in the apostles' doctrine of breaking of bread and of prayers. The book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, the Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. You see, the Bible also emphasizes the importance of maintaining spiritual purity and avoiding fellowship with unrighteousness. I know in our home, that every once in a while, Michelle will go through the refrigerator and look at things and say, and sometimes she opens it and looks, and sometimes she does this, and that's going in the trash. You know, we used to, when I worked with the military some years ago, and we worked in a big warehouse, had a refrigerator, people brought their lunch in. We had to put, some of y'all probably do this, we had to put labels on things of who it belonged to and the date that it went in the fridge, and it was fair game. If it had been there a week, you could eat it or throw it out, one of the two. I never ate anything, I just threw it out. But who knows what's in there. But the point I'm trying to make here is, I forgot the point I was going to make. Let me look at my notes here again. Boy, I just had a major brain cramp here, but it'll come to me. If we allow things to become old and stale, and we don't continue to refresh things in our life through our Bible study, through our prayer, and through our service, we'll become almost like leftovers. It's just there, and the fair game comes in when the Satan comes in to pick. And hopefully a believer, a brother, or sister in Christ will have the courage and come by and not throw you out, but to come by and remind you who you are in Christ and about walking straight, about doing what's right. Are you in the Word? Are you spending time in prayer? Are you doing the things that you know the Lord would have you to do? Purity is important in the church. So things that are going awry should be corrected. A brother that is going awry, have gone awry, are we to still fellowship with them and be kind to them? Yes. Depending on how far they go, and that's a whole nother topic, but we are to reach and love them. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Yeah, there are requirements in our world today. When you get married, you go to the courthouse, you go to a church, you get your license, you get married, you say you're a dues, and you're legal with the state that you live in, you're legal in the sight of God, there's a right and there's a proper way to do it. And therefore, in the church, I think it's wrong, even though you want people to be in your church, but if you have someone in your church that have made a profession of faith, maybe even being discipled and growing in the Lord, but they're living together, they're not married yet, I won't baptize them. But I will love them, I will encourage them, we will disciple them, and tell them when you make that step of faith and doing the right thing, then we'll talk about baptism. If I know they're struggling with another sin in their life, another area, I will talk to them about that. I'm not one of those when someone walks the aisles, trust the Lord, we fill the baptistry and baptize them right away. I think we need to make sure they understand what their salvation is, that they have truly repented and trusted Christ and have a desire to grow in the Lord. In other words, we want to protect the purity of the church. We have a problem with the purity of the church if we have church members that have known sin in their life. But if you have unknown sin in your life, you're also affecting your purity. Just because people don't know doesn't mean that God doesn't know. But when it is known, we should address it. We should make it right because we want to protect the purity and the service of our Lord as we serve the Lord together. All right, let's see here. 1 John chapter 1, fellowship is also portrayed. Believers are to preserve the integrity of the fellowship by aligning with God's will. And then fellowship is also portrayed as a source of joy and strength. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 4. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Folks, I don't know about you. I enjoy serving the Lord. I get excited when I see boys and girls run out to go to Sunday school and all excited, coming out, telling mom and dad what they learned, or looking out when I'm preaching or teaching. You can almost see the light coming on as somebody grasps a truth. Or get a phone call or a text message later in the week thanking for the message and how God spoke to them. So whether it's one-on-one or whether it's in the services and having an impact, I'm sure when you're singing in the choir members looking out and you see the smiling faces and the people enjoying the choir number or the special music, it brings joy to your heart as it does with theirs as you're ministering to them and preparing and helping them prepare for the preaching of God's word. Again, 1 John 1, 4, and these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. See, there is emotional and spiritual fulfillment found in fellowship. Additionally, the unity of believers is celebrated in the book of Psalm 133 and verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. What a beautiful verse. How good and how pleasant. See, fellowship in the Bible encompasses spiritual communion with God, mutual love and support among believers, and participation in worship and service, and a commitment to holiness and unity. When we're all pulling the same direction for the same goal, there's no friction. There's no difficulty. It shouldn't be a tug of war, but moving together as we serve. See, it is both a divine gift and a responsibility to be nurtured through faith and action. The Bible tells us that we are to reach people, but what does the Bible say in the Great Commission? We're to win them and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to do whatsoever things I've commanded you. In other words, the discipleship is not over until evangelizing, teaching them to do the same thing. And that's part of a goal of the local church, our responsibility to nurture through faith and action. May God help us to have faith in what He can do. Love our family and church family as we fellowship together as God designed it. So how will we practice and demonstrate our faith? How will we love our family as we labor in unity? And how will we focus and work on purpose as our fellowship together? Not just a church, but even outside of a church. So I'll ask this rhetorical question. Recently we were invited out to go out to eat with some other families. We had to bow out because we had some other things going on. Weren't able to make it. I regret it. But they were kind enough to send me text message with pictures of their food that we were missing out on. But still, that's that bantering and love toward one another. So, and I know that was because it was all out of love, wasn't it, Kitty and Rob? All out of love. But it's good to fellowship with one another outside of church. It's good to fellowship with one another, whether it's over a meal, whether it's a game night at home, whether it's a cup of coffee, whether it's meeting at church to doing a little work around the church property. It's still fellowship. Faith, family, and fellowship. We'll be reminded every service when we walk in the church in the foyer and see it. We'll see it. Faith, family, and fellowship. Now, I've got one more thing that I want to share that's not on your outline. I didn't do an outline for this. I can and go over this again at another time possibly. But you'll see this in the budget later. And again, this year we've done something different. I have, in all sincerity, pretty much stepped away and taken my hands off the budget. Our church bookkeeper sent me some numbers. So we'll give you some more numbers a little later. The church budget this year is a little lower than last year, not a lot. But it could have been a whole lot lower the way we restructured it, but we're stretching in faith, and you'll hear about that more a little later. But we also added some other categories that we're going to finance. I didn't ask for it. The committee that we put together did, but I think it'll still fall under ministry. So what I did from getting from the bookkeeper, giving us how the year's looking, and going into the new year, she keeps up with all the expenses, and we've got copies. We'll give everyone a little bit later. And then we put in there four words that I think will help us with our faith, family, and fellowship. That is pastoral care, parishioner care, property care, and proclamation care. And I really would like to see every single member of Harvest Baptist Church to desire to fall under one of those categories in 2026 and maybe beyond that. Those of you may be visiting and looking for a church home, it's good for you to know and understand our philosophy and the things we'd like to do and see how we may run a business meeting here in a few moments. It's good for you to see that, and I want to see our church family grow and to get people involved. If you join our church and you're visiting, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm going to poke and prod here and there when we get comfortable with each other and try to get you plugged into a ministry. I don't want you to come and just sit and soak. I want you to be involved. I want you to give back in some way and aspect, because it's for your good that you might grow spiritually. Pastor, I have no idea what I could do. I guarantee you, if you're here and you're faithful and you allow me to get to know you in time and prayer, I'll figure something out that we can agree on. I think it's important that we serve. So the first one, pastoral care. And we'll go over this a little more. I may develop a handout. I want to finish this up so we can get to our presenting our budget. Pastoral care basically is anything that you're willing to do to take off your pastor's plate for a week or for a month to give him a little rest. Looking out for your pastor. Encouragement, cards, texts, or emails. And I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this in reality as we grow a church, because I may not always be your pastor. I will not always be the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. The Lord's going to call me home, or the Lord's going to return, and then the world, I guess, will just get the building. But I think it's my responsibility as a pastor to teach you the whole counsel of God and make it easy for anyone else coming in behind me or coming in on staff. I think it's important. So that's anything you could take off my plate. I had someone last week when I mentioned this with the men's meeting. I said, okay, pastor, you mentioned today. What can I take off your plate this week? That'll give you a little time. That's what I'm talking about. It could be encouragement, cards, letters, text message of encouragement. It could be leisure time. So you could look at me across the table and say, pastor, you're not supposed to be thinking about anything but fellowshipping with me. Just a stress relief. Brother Rob has helped me tremendously last month. He'll call me once in a while and say, preacher, what day this week can you go fishing? I can go these days, but I can't go these days. It's a stress relief for me to get out on the water, away from everything, no phone signal, hardly ever, and just enjoy conversation and catching, not just fishing. Amen, Rob? That's part of pastoral care, an idea behind it. And then you have parishioner care. Parishioner care could be visiting. It could be visiting shut-ins, those that are sick, those that are in the hospital, those that need a follow-up, who's been visiting the church, follow-up on visitors. You say, well, pastor, isn't that your responsibility? Well, that goes back to pastoral care. Can you take something off my plate if I have too much going on during that week? Probably one of the busiest weeks that I've had outside the first year when we were redoing so much here and regrouping as a church, our church constitution bylaws, that was a busy year. Outside of that year, my busiest week that I had, because it seems like everything that could go wrong, everything that could take place that needed my attention did, was the week that Bob Stone passed away at his funeral. I had 10 days and 5 days that week. But God helped me. We got it all done. We had the services. We did what we could to fellowship and to encourage that family. But parishioner care is visiting, hospital visits, follow-up on visitors, ushers, working security, you're caring for your church family, helping fellow members at home projects, as I mentioned earlier this week. That's parishioner care, caring for one another. The meal train, helping families in need of a meal that is sick, that is parishioner care. That is caring for one another. So pastoral care, parishioner care, then we have property care. That's real easy. We have people doing that already. Those who clean the inside of the building, who work on the landscaping outside, who cleans and prepares the fellowship hall, make sure things are cleaned up. When we have a guest missionary evangelist that comes in with our guest room that we have over there. All of those fall under property care and helping take care of the needs, the landscaping, all those things where you can volunteer and pitch in. We ordered several tons of rock for the church property. Several guys showed up with shovels, and they came out, and they helped spread the rock. Others weren't able to do as much, so they came out and made sure we had cold Gatorade in the cooler. They might not have been shoveling, but they still had a part in ministering to the other men that were there if they weren't physically able to. And so pastoral care, parishioner care, property care, and then we have proclamation and proclamation care. That's getting the gospel out. That's canvassing and putting door hangers on in your neighborhood around the church. Working in the sound and video booth because you're responsible with getting things together to make sure the gospel is going out via our website and the internet. Teaching a class. Being prepared or willing to teach a class. Pastor, I'll have a sermon ready in my Bible if you get sick on a Sunday morning or Wednesday night to fill in. Or I'll take a rotation in Sunday school as Brother Smith's getting ready to transition. Maybe you need a break in order curriculum. Maybe I can do a quarter or whatever it may be to be a part. That's getting the gospel out. That's proclamation. Singing the choir. We're proclaiming and preparing the hearts of God's people. That's a form of proclamation. And, of course, the website, social media, whatever that we may be involved in helping the gospel, helping people know that Harvest Baptist Church exists in Goodyear on a corner of Saraval and Van Buren. That's getting the gospel out. That is proclamation. And I have a desire and a hope that everyone will be willing in some way to say, how can I have a part of this? Or, Pastor, I think I could fit in here. Some may have involvement in more than one category that they're ministering in, without any doubt. You know, we have our parishioner care taking care of one another. Again, that's the ushers, the security, helping with projects that I mentioned before, or the meal train, or making those visits, or taking something off my plate. Some time ago, Brother Hunt said, you know, what can I take off your plate, Pastor? And so I gave him a project. I gave him a church directory. We worked to make sure that it was okay. And he's working on mapping out where everyone lives to make it a more efficient for me to do a circle or a roundabout to make some visits if I need to, instead of going here to here to here to there, to be somewhat organized and make it easier for me to find where people live or to make several visits and not have to drive 50 miles when there's a way I can do it in only 10 miles. And so that's something taken off my plate. So there's so many categories in those things. All right, we'll take a short break. It's 7:03, so 2 minutes if you need to go to the restroom. We'll get the handouts for the budget meeting. We'll make sure those get handed out. I'll have a word of prayer. And then you're welcome, visitors. Like to come back and see how we do business. You're more than welcome to do that. Just, of course, you're just a listener if you stay for the budget and presenting our budget. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the privilege of faith, family, and fellowship. Help us all to strive and seek out an opportunity to serve in some capacity of pastoral care, parishioner care, property care, or proclamation, that we would have a ministry here as we minister to our church family and our community. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll take 2 minutes and we'll meet here again.